You're listening to Depression in the Family, a podcast for family members and friends of someone with depression or bipolar disorder. This is our first podcast in a series that will help you learn and feel supported so you're not alone in your struggles helping someone with a depressive disorder. We'll be interviewing experts and family members on the show. This podcast is a production of Families for Depression Awareness on the web at familyaware.org. This is Neil Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Julie Totten, president of Families for Depression Awareness. Julie, what does your organization do?
Families for Depression Awareness is a national nonprofit organization, and we help families recognize and cope with depressive disorders so we can get people well and we can prevent suicides.
Now, there are a lot of organizations out there that help people with depressive disorders. What makes your organization special?
We are focused on the family, and we believe that all family members need to get involved in treatment. And families are usually the first ones to recognize that someone is not well and that someone is depressed.
I know that you have a lot of great resources on your website, familyaware.org. If I were to go there, what kind of resources would I find?
You would find a lot of information. We have free brochures, such as the Helping Someone Who's Depressed brochure. We also have a depression test, and we have online moderated support groups.
Sounds like there's a lot of great information on the website for people who want to learn more about depression. And today, in fact, we're going to look very closely at some of the most important aspects of learning about depressive disorders. What are the signs of a depressive disorder? We're going to look very closely at the difference between depression and bipolar disorder, and why does it matter?
Yes. You know, we often hear a lot about what it feels like for the person who has depression, the sadness or the emptiness they feel inside. But what we don't talk about so much are what it's like for the family and friends to recognize depression and things that they notice, like the constant negative talk or the withdrawal that hurts so much. And we need to recognize that these behaviors often point to depression.
To learn more about depression and bipolar disorder, we've got two wonderful guests with us today. Dr. Carol Glaude, she's a researcher at McLean Hospital and Northeastern University, where she studies depression and treats patients. And also Massachusetts Senator Robert Antonioni, who's going to talk to us about his experience with depression and tell us about his brother who he lost to suicide. Thanks both for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Senator Antonioni, you experienced depression yourself. When did you first realize that something unusual is happening to you?
I think it was probably following my brother's death, which was in 1999. I went into counseling for that. My brother had committed suicide at that time, and it was following that, I think that incident, that became more aware that what I was dealing with perhaps was something that many in my family had to deal with, which was instance of depression.
Could you describe what you were going through, what kind of feelings and behaviors you experienced?
Well, I think there was the loss of my brother was to suicide was a traumatic sort of thing, and I think eventually, as I began to deal with that and became more aware of my own experiences, that for me it was a just something of a constant hurt or ache that didn't seem to go away. It was aggravated by lack of sleep or even having a beer. I'd notice it afterwards. So I think that it was something that I became more educated about, more aware of what depression was to my body chemistry, that I began to realize how I might better deal with the situation.
And you also may have noticed some atypical, unusual behavior that wasn't something you had experienced before during that time?
Well, I guess it was. I think that very often wanting to sleep, not having the energy to do things that I would like to do usually. And I think that the ability to verbalize these sort of things with the counselor that I was seeing made it more treatable for me. And then finally, I think it was the combination of the therapy, some lifestyle changes that I made, as well as antidepressant medication that I took, that really turned things around for me.
Great. I'm glad to hear about that. Dr. Glaude, Senator Antonioni told us about his trouble sleeping, lack of energy, and the change in his mood. Everyone experiences their depression in a unique and different way, but could you tell us, based on your work, which signs generally indicate a depressive disorder in someone?
Well, it's usually a cluster of symptoms, Neil, and you heard the senator talk about some of them. Change in mood, so most frequently a sad or depressed mood. This was in response, in his case, to grief and a terrible situation. Sometimes it can be an irritable mood. Sometimes anxiety can go along with it as well. And then changes in behavior, as you asked him about. So changes in sleep. That could be sleeping too much. That could be sleeping too little. Changes in appetite or weight. Again, too much or too little. Low energy is a fairly common symptom. Trouble concentrating, sort of not feeling the same spirit of life, not having the same interest in terms of activities or in terms of work, some of those kinds of things. Those are probably the most typical. And as he also described, they're the types of symptoms that are a change from what he would normally experience or what a person would normally experience, and they persist. So they're usually there for days or weeks or sometimes months, unfortunately, before somebody even gets some help.
Now, you've described a lot of these feelings from the perspective of the person who's suffering depression. Are there any symptoms or signs that a family member or a friend might notice in someone who's suffering from a depressive disorder?
Well, some of these things a family member might notice. So, for example, the senator was talking about sleeping a lot. So a family member might notice that and say, well, gee, you know, that's not his normal self to be taking naps or sleeping a long time, withdrawing from the family, withdrawing from friends, not participating in some of the activities that, you know, someone would normally participate in. Sometimes changes in weight, but, you know, sometimes depression can also be hidden, and the person can put on a good face sometimes. So what the, quote, face of depression really is might differ. So sometimes a family member can tell, and sometimes people can keep it hidden as well.
What about other problems like alcohol, drug abuse, or even domestic violence? Would you say that if a family's experiencing these kind of problems, it might be because of a depressive disorder?
Well, that's an interesting question. One of the things that the senator was also talking about, which is fairly typical, is that sometimes there's a precipitant. So in this case, it was the death of his brother and a tragic one at that. So sometimes it could be some other loss. It could be some other situation like you were talking about, like domestic violence or something. When it comes to alcohol and drug abuse, oftentimes that can go hand in hand with a mood disorder like depression. So it might be a chicken or egg kind of situation. Was somebody drinking and then depression kind of came on, or were they somewhat depressed and anxious and then started drinking or using drugs? Were they not really sleeping and so they were drinking a little bit more to kind of help them fall asleep? You know, each person expresses it a little bit differently, but, you know, depression has its complications, has its effects on the family, has its effects on work and relationships and everything else.
Well, it sounds like friends and family in particular should be alert to changes, especially changes that might lead to someone withdrawing or acting in an unusual or atypical manner.
I think that's true. And if I can jump in here, one of the things is the person who's experiencing depression will oftentimes feel close to someone, and because of that closeness, feel like they can reveal that they're not feeling right, or they're feeling depressed, or maybe even feeling like they don't want to live anymore, for example. On the other hand, sometimes people, despite feeling close to someone, want to protect that person and don't share it. So, you know, it can be a complicated situation. And I don't know, you know, in his situation or others, what that was really like. But it also depends who you're close to, and sometimes wanting to protect the person as well.
Senator Antoniani, you had the awful experience of losing your brother to suicide. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, did you see any signs that he might have had a depressive disorder?
My brother was always somewhat moody, and I think that what I and maybe some of my other family members attributed to moodiness was actually something a lot more significant. The doctor had talked about some people that seemed to be able to hide the symptoms, and my brother was really good at that, particularly with the general public and others. And clearly the situation that occurred was a surprise to everyone. Since that time, I've read a lot about it and come to understand the connection that suicide has with depression and other forms of mental illness. And, you know, I hopefully I would be better able to identify the warning signs in a loved one now. But I think that the role of stigma, I think my brother wasn't the sort who was going to be talking about this to others, even though he was clearly hurting. And I think that it's so important for folks to try and reach out or try to have a loved one or a friend talk about it, even if they can't talk to me or to someone else, but find someone else that they might be able to talk to, because that can make, I think, a world of difference. Had my brother known that, you know, this is the sort of thing that was treatable and that it wasn't going to last forever, I think that he could have dealt with it. But very often, I think someone who is depressed, I know at times I felt this way, that there's just nothing I can do about it. It's going to be this way. And, you know, that's when someone else who can have a more objective perspective can look at it and say it can be done. And, you know, if my brother were here, I'd say, hey, you know, the medication helped me. I'm glad I did this. You know, I'm glad I went to counseling. And I have to believe that, you know, were he in his right mind, not so depressed, you know, this never would have happened.
And if I can also echo some of what he said, because sometimes people keep it hidden. Sometimes they think, I'm going to tough it out. And if I just get through another day, or, you know, it'll somehow go away on its own. And sometimes after months or years, it may go away. But on the other hand, the person is suffering in the meantime. They may not even be sure what to do. They might be embarrassed or ashamed, or, as you said, there's still a stigma associated with this. It's hard for people to kind of come forward and seek help. And I think that's one of the important messages here today, is to reach out and get help, whether you're a family member and you're wondering about someone, or a person who's experiencing it.
Senator Antonioni mentioned how hard it was to see what his brother was going through, and even having gone through something of a depressive disorder himself, how difficult it is to perceive that when you're going through it, and for even people who are close to him to understand that. Understanding how difficult that is, are there any things that someone, a friend or family member, could do to determine if someone might be feeling suicidal?
Well, there's no specific tests per se, but I think it comes back to what we've been talking about in terms of reaching out to the person and asking them, or maybe even making a supportive comment like, you don't seem yourself, or you just don't seem as happy as you usually do, or it seems like you're troubled by something, or seems like something's on your mind, or, you know, I'd really like to try and help, or see if there's a way to get you to a better place. I mean, there are some more gentle things like that to say. If you're really concerned about someone, an important thing to ask sometimes is to say, do you ever feel like life isn't worth living, or are you feeling like hurting yourself? If there are, you know, more signals or something else that the family member might be picking up on. But, you know, sometimes it's well hidden, and families then feel very guilty afterwards if something bad does happen. Like, oh, I should have noticed something, when maybe the person was really keeping a lot to themselves. So it's a hard place to be in. It's a fine line sometimes to walk. It's not an easy place.
Mm-hmm. Senator Antonioni, you've spoken about this from your personal experience, and it does seem to be very difficult to break through the stigma, and maybe even difficult for people close to you to understand what you're going through. But based on your experience, is there anything that you could recommend for someone who's either going through this or suspects that someone they care about might be having difficulties like this?
Get help. That's what I would say. There's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to dealing with depression, some sort of mental illness. You know, we're not shy about saying we've got a problem with cholesterol or some other form of illness. But when it comes to some form of mental illness, particularly for men, I think, there's a real stigma there that, you know, as the doctor suggested, I can just tough it out, or not being a man if I have to talk about my feelings or some other problem. I mean, I think I'm as much of a guy as anyone else, and I wish I had said something to my brother. I mean, I didn't know, but as the doctor suggested, but there's no shame in saying, hey, you know, come on, let's go talk to somebody. And I'll tell you what, I have folks come up to me, many men, who'll say, you know, I'm glad you talked about this, Bob, because it's, you know, I have this problem too. Someone said it to me today on the street. I didn't know who he was, in Boston, of all places. So there's nothing wrong with it, and that's the best thing you can do. And there's such a stigma against mental health counseling, psychiatrists and the like. You hear a lot about that. You know what? I mean, I'm here today because I got help. I firmly believe that. The counselor that I see, a woman in Watertown, she's the best, man. She's a guardian angel, and I'm so glad I did it. I'm not ashamed of it, and I play hockey.
You know, that's great. If I can also emphasize that it's important to recognize that depression is an illness. whether it's high cholesterol or diabetes or heart disease, it's an illness. It's treatable. It's not anybody's fault. It sometimes does run in families, but I think if we can normalize it a bit or put it in that kind of context, it can help people get help as well.
Well, part of treating an illness well is certainly understanding the symptoms. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about today is the difference between depression and manic depression or bipolar disorder. What are the signs of bipolar disorder and how are they different from depression?
Well, both depression and bipolar disorder are mood disorders, so they fall into, you know, some sort of disturbance of mood. People who have bipolar disorder have periods of depression. They also have times when they feel fine. And then they have times when they're in a manic period. Those are the sort of more classic cycles of bipolar disorder. When somebody's in a manic phase or a manic cycle, the symptoms in some ways are almost the opposite of depression. So they have high energy. They're not sleeping very much. They may actually feel high, like you're high on drugs kind of high. So they're euphoric. Sometimes they're irritable also and, you know, can kind of snap as well. They have a lot of energy. They put a lot of energy into work. They're doing a lot of things. They might be having lots of different thoughts and talking very fast. And again, it's a cluster of symptoms that lasts for a period of time when someone's in the manic phase.
Well, thank you both for this very helpful information and also helping us understand how everyone can make a difference for someone who's struggling with these type of disorders. Dr. Glaude and Senator Antonioni, are there any other closing thoughts you might have on how our listeners might be able to recognize or help someone cope with depressive disorders?
Just don't be shy. If you think there's something wrong, maybe there is. And if you love somebody, you know, you just say, hey, man, what's going on? You okay? Sometimes that makes a big difference.
I think the other message is it doesn't necessarily go away by itself. Bad things can happen. You can get involved in drugs and alcohol. We see it has a tremendous effect on families, both when somebody's in the depressive phase or if other things happen. And there's so much that can be done to turn it around, and I think that's a very important message for people to hopefully hear.
Well, thank you both today. We really appreciate your time and sharing this very helpful message about depressive disorders.
It was a pleasure.
Right. Thank you.
Now it's that time in our show when Julie gets up on her high horse.
That's right. And today I want to talk about the problems we face as families dealing with depressive disorders and what we can do about them. I want to talk about stigma. By stigma, I mean the discrimination or fear of depression that people have. The stigma that surrounds depression so that people don't even get help when it's pointed out that they probably have it. And the stigma that prevents family and friends from talking about it, that elephant in the room. If we could just erase stigma and change people's attitudes about depression and help them to realize that this is a medical condition and not a personality problem or a lack of willpower, it would be so much easier to get the whole family healthy. 50% of people who have depression don't receive treatment. Often people who have depression take their lives. We still have more than 30,000 suicides a year. Many of these suicides can be prevented if people can talk about depression and get the help they desperately need.
Stigma is one of the biggest issues that prevents people from getting the help they need. So what can we do about it?
Well, studies show that the best way to change stigma is to talk to people in person and educate them one-on-one. And this is something you can do if you want to help us reduce stigma.
So, how do you do it?
Let me make some suggestions. At familyaware.org, you can sign up for a sweet Baking for Healthy Minds bake sale. And this is where you sell baked goods in your community while handing out materials about depression at the same time. It is the perfect platform to talk about the issue with people. You can also volunteer to speak in your community and to the media. We get lots of reporters calling us looking for people willing to share their stories. If we all band together and fight stigma, we can end this discrimination so that people with depression are treated just like people with diabetes, heart disease, or cancer. To end stigma, go to familyaware.org or call us at 781-890-0220.
You've been listening to Depression in the Family. To continue this conversation, go to the Depression in the Family Forum on our website at familyaware.org. This podcast is also available through iTunes. If you like this show, please help us out by posting a positive review on iTunes. This program is supported by Eli Lilly and Company, Wyeth, AstraZeneca, and listeners like you. To make a gift to support this program and to help people get well and prevent suicides, please visit the Families for Depression Awareness website, familyaware.org. Thank you for listening to Depression in the Family.